Good morning. This is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. The Palestine Liberation Organization's leader, Yasser Arafat, reportedly has been a target of assassins. Don Webster has the few reported details in the Beirut Bureau.
Voice of Lebanon Radio, which is often reliable and fast, has reported that in the middle of the night there was an assassination attempt on Yasser Arafat. Arafat has been spending his nights in Damascus most of the time and commuting either to Tripoli, Lebanon's northern city, or to the Bekaa Valley. According to Voice of Lebanon Radio, the assassination attempt took place about 2:30 this morning. An aide, perhaps a bodyguard, was killed, and Arafat apparently escaped unhurt.
Does the Voice of Lebanon mention what sort of ordnance was fired at him? Was it a bomb, a machine gun assault, or is there any detail at all?
There's no detail at all yet.
Any indication that he may have been wounded or injured?
No, the Voice of Lebanon did not say that he was injured. They said he escaped unharmed and that an aide was killed. And that's about all the detail we know on the actual attempt. It's easy to speculate on who might have done it because, as you know, he has been trying to negotiate some dissension within the PLO the last few weeks. And there are several elements in the PLO that might well be responsible.
Don Webster in Beirut. Most observers now agree that the threat of a pitched battle between Israeli and Syrian forces ranged against each other in Lebanon has diminished, but death does remain a presence. Bob Faw reports from Tel Aviv.
With the end of Syrian troop maneuvers in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, tension along Israel's northern border has eased considerably, but if the threat of war has diminished, it has not disappeared altogether. So large numbers of Israeli troops remain in the area on alert. The Begin government won't say how long its so-called precautionary measures will last. The fear in Jerusalem is not so much an all-out attack by Syria, but hit-and-run attacks by PLO forces to keep Israeli troops off balance and to drain Israeli morale. The fears are justified. In a guerrilla attack 10 miles from Beirut, two more Israeli soldiers were killed. The Israeli death toll now numbers 490. When, the country wonders, will it end? So even though both sides have pulled back from the brink, Israel is left in a situation it doesn't want and which its defense chief says it will not tolerate. Bob Paul, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Listen as a man enters the most surprising back seat in driving.
Hop in the back, Bill.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning. Morning. Morning.
What's that?
That is all the space in the back of this new Nissan Stanza.
Presenting the roomy front-wheel drive Nissan Stanza at your Datsun dealer. It's the economy car with the cavernous back seat. But the real surprise is the way this beauty delivers. Sparkling performance and outstanding mileage. EPA estimated 29 mpg, 43 highway with 5 speed. Use 29 for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage lower.
Move over, Bill. I have to pick up Harry.
Hi, everybody.
Shh. Morning.
What's wrong? Oh, your first time in the back of a Nissan Stanza.
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 Datsun, we are driven, driven, driven.
See the roomy new Nissan Stanza at your Datsun dealer now.
The Williamsburg summit meeting turns to cranking out an economic policy statement today after reaching agreement on arms and arms reduction yesterday. The essence, we armed a parley. We'll deploy American missiles in Europe and will, at the same time, press the Soviets for reduction. White House reporter Deborah Potter has the story.
The harmony of the public show dissolved behind closed doors as the leaders took up the thorny political issue of nuclear arms policy. Sources say there was some extremely sharp language. But hours later, the leaders emerged with a statement strongly backing deployment of U.S. missiles in Europe, while at the same time promising to keep pushing for arms reduction. Administration officials were careful not to call it an American victory, but they were clearly delighted with what they got. A strong message to Moscow, backed by all the leaders, committing themselves to going ahead with deployment. And as one administration official put it, this was not a hard-line document that was turned soft. The U.S. also got a statement that officials hope will help counter the widespread opposition to deployment. In the words of one official, we expect this will play well in Europe. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Williamsburg.
Williamsburg is, after all, an economic conference, and today the final subject returns to economics. Frank Sedapanti reports.
The level of U.S. interest rates has dominated the economic discussions at the summit so far and is likely to remain the chief economic issue. Relatively little time has been spent so far on matters such as free trade and relieving poor nations of their consuming debt burdens. Those issues should receive greater attention today, but the overriding issue is the U.S. deficit. The allies, to a lesser or greater degree, argue that government borrowing to finance the deficit drives up interest rates, stifles economic activity, and contributes to high unemployment. Treasury Secretary Donald Regan took pains in yesterday's sessions to discount linkage of deficits, interest rates, and sluggish economic activity.
We don't necessarily have to have, in this first year, interest rates coming down in order to have the recovery. Witness the fact that with these same rates of interest for the past 6 months approximately, we have had two quarters of recovery.
Many economists agree that deficits are no threat now. What worries them is that government borrowing needs may collide with those of business as the economy recovers, pushing interest rates back to the levels that brought on the recession. Frank Sedapani, CBS News, Williamsburg.
Mexico gets a look at its economic future today. George Natanson reports from Mexico City.
The Mexican people are placing high hopes in President Miguel de la Madrid's National Development Plan, which is to be announced today. For nearly a year now, this country has suffered the worst economic crisis in its history. Unemployment now affects nearly half the labor force. An increasing number of businesses and industries have gone into bankruptcy. The Mexican peso has been devalued from 25 to $1 last year to today's 150 to 1. The country is saddled with one of the world's largest foreign debts, amounting to nearly $90 billion. Inflation reached 100% last year and, if left uncontrolled, threatens to do the same this year. Faced with these problems when he took office last December, President de la Madrid promised that within 6 months, his government would come up with a development program. The project to be announced today is designed to help solve the crisis and to lay the groundwork for dynamic economic growth. If it works, increasing social unrest will recede. If not, the country's political stability could be threatened. George Natanson, CBS News, Mexico City.
Both the dollar and the British pound rose strongly on the world money markets today, the dollar reaching an all-time high against the French franc and the Italian lira, 7.54 francs, 1,493 lira. This is a bank holiday in Britain, as it is in the United States. Gold virtually unchanged in Zurich at $437.75 an ounce.
Imperial Savings.
When you're very young, decisions just aren't all that important. And the best part is, you can even assure yourself you've made the right decisions without outside help. But as adults, decisions aren't always so easy, especially financial decisions. You see, we come to understand that being able to make money and being a financial expert are two different things. And that's where we come in. When you come in to Imperial Savings, we're nearly $5 billion strong with over 1,100 employees and 124 convenient branches. We have the financial expertise to help you make sensible decisions about your financial future. Your plans, your dreams, your tomorrows. But first, you'll have to make the decision to see us. Imperial Savings, where tomorrow begins today.
Imperial Savings.
Member FSLIC.
Republican leaders deny there was an organized attempt to disrupt the nationally televised Democratic fundraising telethon. GOP National Chairman Frank Fahrenkopf says it was a spontaneous outpouring of support for the president and his policies. Democratic officials insist there was a jamming effort and they may take action to recover damages. Iris Shelton reports from KNX in Los Angeles.
Democrats say their weekend nationwide telethon will net them $20 million. National Party Chairman Charles Manatt says they may have lost just as much from an elaborate telephone jamming scheme that he alleges the Republicans are behind. Manatt says during the height of the 17-hour TV show, sometimes 10 to 1, GOP supporters would call in. They would tie up the lines, pretending to be interested in pledging money, and then declare their support for President Reagan and hang up.
So it's obviously a well-instructed, well-trained call-in program. It's not just someone calling in with obscene words or saying they support President Reagan. It's using all of our operators' time is what they're trying to do.
Chairman Manatt says those calls were significant enough in number to cause Democrats to lose out on some pledges. Democrats are tallying the number of crank calls and they're planning a legal suit to recover up to $20 million in damages. Chairman Manatt says early next week, Democrats will decide which legal action to pursue. Ira Shelton for CBS News, Los Angeles.
Lima, Peru blacked out yesterday. Leftist guerrillas bombed a power line. They call themselves the Shining Path.